This meeting is now being recorded. Chair Bartlett?
Well, that is great. Welcome to our LCAS Advisory Committee of Monday, January 10th, 2022. And we're told we have a quorum. And as such, we have a straightforward agenda. I'm sure we'll be out before 5:30 in all likelihood. So number one on the agenda is welcome and any public comment. Are there any people who'd like to make a public comment and share anything with us? Hearing none, are there any changes to the agenda? Okay. My dog is barking at the postman. Happens every day. Post lady, should I say. Acknowledge the audio minutes. Does anyone care to say anything about them or amend them or comment on them or, you know? We thank Elise for doing this and putting all these materials together. It makes it really easy for us. Really appreciate that. Now we're on number four, new and continuing business. Importation updates from David. Do you have any new stuff?
I have an article I can send everybody about, let's see, I pull it up, about rescue trafficking in Colorado and some of the disease brought in. I'll just send everybody the article.
Sure.
That's all I've got.
And do you keep in touch with the lady and within the Department of Agriculture who's charged with import monitoring and all that?
No, I don't, but I could.
Why don't you? Because you probably could give us some interesting updates in terms
okay.
of whatever they're doing.
All right, I'll do that for next meeting.
Okay, hold on. Good. She's headed downstairs. The door is shut. I don't know what she's. Why do they like postman uniforms? Great. Well, all right. So we are now in the number B under four, a 2022 committee goals. Elise, would you care to orient us in terms of what we might want to discuss or not? Did she hear me, Elise?
I did. I apologize. I was muted.
Oh, okay.
So in regards to 2022 committee goals, I was just trying to pick up where Betty Mushu kind of left off. One thing she always tried to motivate the committee to do was establish some concrete goals and direction for the group to follow and kind of have some end of year product goals so you guys can see your progress throughout 2022. So that's the reason I put that on the agenda. I thought it would be a good start of the year thing to talk about and help guide us through the next 11 meetings of the year.
Sure. Now, the synopsis, I mean, we've been basically recycling those and adding or subtracting to them as we wished. But the synopsis or whatever, did you send us whatever the existing ones are? And if not, could you do that for our next meeting?
Like the things that you guys spoke about in the past?
Yeah.
Okay. I can try and find that document.
Sure. And then if we need to add to it, we'll do that and put that as an agenda item. So now we are at number C, which is follow-up discussion and questions, RE, the at-large vacancy. And how does the committee wish to proceed on this?
We were discussing.
This is Fran Bunkenbeck. I'm on the line now. Do you want me to hang up? Would that be best?
I think you can stay on for right now. Sorry, I had put voting down towards the end of the agenda.
Okay.
So if either applicants had any questions, you guys are more than welcome to ask those questions. And if the committee members have thought of any exciting and relevant questions to ask you guys, they'll have a second to ask any last questions. Then we'll move on to normal business and conclude with voting after people have had time to reflect on their voting selection at the end of the meeting.
And at the voting thing, perhaps at that time, they could take their leave for five
Fairly.
Minutes or whatever. Okay. We've seen both of the candidates. They're both eminently qualified in different ways. And if there's a way we can have both of them come and participate, that would be the ideal thing. Does anyone have any specific questions? Now, is Virginia Kaiser there too?
Yes,
she is.
Oh, so both Dr. and Virginia are there. Okay, great. Would anyone have any specific questions to both of them?
I do not.
Okay.
I can ask a question on behalf of LCAS.
Please do.
Starting with Virginia, I'm going to ask both applicants the same question, but what is your primary reason for wanting to join the committee, and what is something that you would like to get involved with in regards to Lane County Animal Services, like a passion project?
I'm not even sure which project you've got, but I wanted to get involved because I'm concerned about the dogs and cats problem in the county, licensing animals on the loose. I'm concerned about the horse situation in the county because I own a horse and I've seen abuse and et cetera. Just in general, concerned about animals. And I have a lot of experience with animals. I've had cats, I've had dogs, and I've had horses.
Very good. And you're familiar, I believe, with that horse animal abuse situation in Crestwell a year ago?
Yes, I am. And I have a friend who lives fairly close to that. And I asked her not too long ago what if she had any observations going, you know, because she goes by there all the time. And she said she has not seen an animal on the property for quite some time.
Well,
that, you know,
you know,
she
I
can see from the road.
Yeah, Elise would have talked or spoken to one of our animal service people, field people, if there was any. Isn't there a probationary relationship and certain requirements that have to be done, et cetera, et cetera?
There are no horses at the Camaswell property currently.
Wonderful.
To the best of our agency's knowledge.
Very good. Okay.
Really?
Okay. That was a terrible thing. And there were dead animals as well. I mean, just horrific. So would anyone like to ask Dr. Munkenbeck?
Well, I think Elise wanted me to answer that question too.
Yes.
So I'm particularly interested in animal welfare in addition, I know in terms of animals by, you know, owners not being responsible and animals either on the loose or not well taken care of. And I know of one case where a patient of mine who a dog came out and attacked his dog. And although it was able to be separated, that dog from his dog, my patient who has a severe heart condition arrested on the way home, and it was touch and go whether he was going to get resuscitated. And, you know, he was very stressed by the situation. I mean, his dog jumped the fence. And when he called animal control, which actually was, I think it was Springfield, not Lane County, they never answered. It took me calling them to say that, my patient no longer will walk his dog. He's given the dog to somebody else because he's afraid to walk his dog in the neighborhood. And they never answered. And it took me calling them to say, you need to do something about this dog because it could happen to somebody else. So I think, you know, we need to, you know, keep track of and, you know, make sure that owners are responsible, welfare of animals. But also, in this instance, it was Springfield Animal Control. Now, maybe they're short staffed, but then maybe we just need to look and make sure that we're able to provide adequate services to both animals and people.
Was this within the city of Eugene?
This was in Springfield. He lives in Springfield. So I'm assuming it's been about a year since this happened. But I think I called Springfield. I mean, I can't remember. It's been a while, but I think, I didn't know there was a difference between Lane County Animal Control and Springfield and Eugene. And so I called Springfield, and I had to call them and get a hold of them. I think I actually wound up calling the police desk, you know, the non-emergency line, saying, this is an issue, and someone almost died. Actually, he did die. He was resuscitated by the paramedics. I mean, he arrested on the way home. He was so stressed. He has a history of heart arrhythmias. And, I mean, it was this dog that just came zipping over a fence. I mean, he was walking, and this dog came over the fence and started attacking his dog.
And so, would his dog have gotten killed if they hadn't broken him apart?
Yeah, it sounded like it was a pretty violent. And it happened that the owner was young and jumped over the fence, too. It wasn't a super high fence, apparently, but it was I don't know, 4 or 5 foot, and that person jumped over the fence and was able to separate. But, I mean, this is a potentially dangerous dog. I'm not saying that you need to put the dog to sleep, but someone needs to talk to the owner and say, you need to be responsible.
And, oh, definitely. You
know, so was that ever taken care of by Springfield? Did they ever talk to the owner?
I asked the owner, and he said they did call him. But since then, he wound up, I kept saying, where's your dog? And he says, I gave it, my ex-wife has the dog now, because he says, I'm afraid to walk. His ex-wife has the dog, who he adores. But it was very hard. I mean, you're walking down the street, and there's this dog jumping across over a fence. You know, it's unpredictable.
I've had that happen about 25 years ago, and it's traumatic. It's really, you know. You want to save your dog's life, and you'll do anything. Is that guy okay
now?
Well,
actually, he did save his dog's life. He did something about the situation, which is what a responsible owner needs to do.
He did.
In the future, though, but, I mean, I think Springfield police, she was lucky she was in the yard at the time. But someone needs to talk to her about not letting their dog without a leash in the yard. Because that dog can jump that fence. It's not high enough. It's like a green hill. You can't, the fence has to be like incredibly high, and they have barbed wire on top so dogs can't jump over. I mean, there are some dogs that can do it, and it can happen again. And maybe that time she won't be there.
As far as the phone call, Springfield only has one officer, and that information as far as the phone call not being answered should go to the Springfield City Council so they can address it. to find out how to prevent that from happening again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the structure of how it all works, and so I'm obviously learning. But, you know, I think the owner jumped across the fence because she heard what was going on. But, you know, I don't know if she'll be there the next time. Who knows?
Well, you could get an answer from the Springfield Animal Control Officer about how that was handled. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like maybe you need to have that answer.
And, you know, a lot of times if there's a dangerous dog situation involving an attack, it can go either administratively or into the court to mandate that either they have fences that are not jump overable, or they, you know, have a line or whatever, so the dog doesn't do that, and make it, you know, pretty serious.
I haven't looked at the code lately, but when John Woodrow was a city councilor, he was looking into changing the dangerous dog ordinance in Springfield. And I don't remember what was done, but his wife is now a city councilor. And so Mary Lee Woodrow might be able to answer that question.
Maybe you could give her a buzz since you know her.
Sure.
You know?
I'll do that.
Well, that these are both really good, you know, issues, the abuse, the regulation. It's unfortunate that, you know, when we first started all this, Lane County Animal Services basically did the animal control for Eugene and I believe for Springfield. I'm not sure about that, but handled some, you know, kenneling and stuff initially. And then these cities decided they wanted to maybe save money or make money or whatever. And hence the licensing for the city of Eugene is farmed out to this firm in Texas. And that's, you know, it really isn't a plus. Well, are there any other questions of our candidates? And I, you know what, we do, at least, do we only have one vacancy as of this time?
Yes. One.
That's correct. We have one vacancy. However, we do have a member that hasn't been at the last few meetings. And so since they're not in attendance today, we'll reach out to them and ask what their plans are for the rest of the year in regards to committee involvement. So there is the potential we could have another vacancy open and up. There are theoretically term expirations to everyone's service on the committee. So if one of the applicants still has interest in the committee, which we hope they do, after today's voting, I would encourage them to keep attending, keep voicing their opinion at these meetings, and that an opening may come available for them sooner than later.
No, that's very well said. And if you have the member in mind who, for a variety of serious professional, whatever reasons, has found it difficult in the workday to get here, maybe you could ask that individual and inform the person that there is a willing and desirous candidate who has more time to devote to it.
That will be my intentions.
Okay, good, good. Okay, I guess we're now at Green Hill Activity. And do we have any comments and presentation?
Hi, committee. This is Sasha Elliott with Green Hill. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. We do not have very much to add to the conversation today. We did work closely with Officer Larkin prior to the snow emergency that happened the last week of 2021. We were prepared to respond if the snow affected a great amount of people, or if we needed to either open the shelter for temporary boarding of people who may have been unhoused or displaced by the snow. or call into action our animals and disaster plan and set up a an off-site shelter as needed. Fortunately, none of the above was required. We did remain open and fully functional through the week of snow here in the valley, but we did not have to deploy any additional services out into the community or bring in any unplanned animal residents here at the shelter. So I think it's just a great reminder of how important this relationship is in order to promptly respond to emergencies in Lane County. And we are continuing to build a volunteer base that will specifically be trained to work with companion animals in case of upcoming fires, floods, snowstorms, and whatnot. And we hope to work with Lane County in the near future to be able to do some sort of a community focused educational event to encourage people to prepare for themselves and their pets in case of an emergency. Beyond that, Green Hill is staying busy. We have about 116 animals in our care as of today, and about 26% of those are specifically from unincorporated Lane County contract. So I'm open to any questions if you have them. Other than that, I will keep it short today.
Do you have regular contact interaction with the unhoused settlements around in terms of any help they might need or protection, whatever?
We do. So we work with a variety of organizations, including, City of Eugene Parks and Rec, their staff members who are out monitoring some of the camps throughout town and assessing what people's needs are, what animals are located on site, what the animals may need. And then in particular, when there is discussion of moving a camp, either clearing it or encouraging people to move into a more sheltered structure, as recently happened when one of the camps flooded, we are contacted and involved in order to prepare for an influx of either resources to go out to assist these people or animals to come into the shelter, either due to temporary boarding or due to owner-initiated relinquishment. We also work with other nonprofit organizations, including Pro Bono and HIV Alliance and Hosea House and several that are really focused on supporting that population. And we're able to step in and provide resources and educational support for the animals in their care.
Does anyone have any other questions at all, Sasha?
Of the 116 that are in there, how much are dogs and how much are cats?
That's a great question. So I, roughly off the top of my head, I would say probably we're at about 60, maybe 60% cats, 35% dogs, and another 5 or 10% others. We have a handful of rabbits and guinea pigs and a rooster right now. But we always tend to be a little heavier on the number of cats in our care at any given time.
How is the x-ray machine doing and being used successfully, et cetera?
It's incredible. It's life-changing here for our medical staff, and the animals in our care are able to receive such more comprehensive, timely assessment and treatment. It is, it's absolutely made a world of difference to us. So thank you so much, committee, for your support.
Very good. Yeah. Do you use any of the vouchers? I know we've had this discussion over time, but the vouchers, I was looking at the table that was in the packet today, and doesn't look like a whole lot are being given out, yet we have several thousands of dollars worth of them. Is that something that is too much of a bother, or would not be helpful to you insofar as low-income people who are going to adopt or whatever?
Could you clarify the intent of using the vouchers? Do you mean us being able to hand them out or us being able to fulfill them by performing the spay and neuter surgery?
They are for assisting people with spay and neuter, but right. not exclusively, but I think so. And they're designed to help. And I think, Elise, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have been giving to deserving people two vouchers at least at times. Can you fill me in at all, Elise, on that?
I'm not entirely sure where you're going with that. Yes, we do have a spay neuter voucher program. I think what you're trying to ask is what low income options does Green Hill offer for a spay neuter? Is that where you're going with that?
I just know that we have, and we worked really hard to get a 5% of the license revenue earmarked for spay and neuter vouchers. And yes. It doesn't seem as if they're getting maximally used.
I for one am very grateful for the funding that we do have allotted for the spay neuter voucher program. And we try and push that as much as possible. I would say the biggest limiting factor right now with use of spay neuter vouchers is the number of vet clinics that accept them and the length of time it takes to get a spay neuter vet clinic or spay neuter appointment at some of the clinics that do accept our vouchers. In regards to Green Hill spay neuter, they have a great program called the Farmers Grant. And so dogs that come in there that are not, that are still fertile and would benefit from spay neuter services, a lot of times Green Hill is able to offer that to them and get the dog altered so they wouldn't need funding from the spay neuter voucher that we have. That's kind of a separate program. But I would guess that Green Hill probably has a packet of our spay neuter vouchers available for citizens that walk into their shelter if they needed to hand those out. But they're also available online.
Do any of these people know about these vouchers that are out in the community?
Yeah, that's a good question and something that I'd be happy to have the committee help with if you guys are interested in. We have flyers that are printed, and when we are at different places like farm stores or Lane County Justice Court and we see there's not a flyer up, we tack those up on the wall so people can figure out where to get more information about the spay neuter voucher program.
Does the veterinary offices that you offer it, do they have a flyer up in their location too?
That's a good question. I actually suspect that a lot of them don't, since it's the program's been operating for a while. It's probably one of those flyers that was posted at one point in time and probably got removed. So that's actually a good idea, is to post new flyers if the vet clinics will allow it, advising regarding the program.
Are the vouchers as good as gold? Why wouldn't a vet take it? Just because they'd have to wait to get that percentage of the fee through some bureaucracy?
I can give you some input on that if the committee members are interested.
Yes.
As a clinic manager and a technician, it's not a problem with having to wait for reimbursement. It's a multi-pronged issue. The first issue, first and foremost, at this point in time, is that all people have to wait much longer than they used to have to wait in order to get a surgery appointment. So there's the first thing you're dealing with. The second thing you're dealing with is you're not going to take up an entire surgery morning or an entire surgery day, depending on how many surgeries you do, with Green Hill reimbursements. Because while you get your money and while there's some benefit, definite benefit to the clinic about helping to provide that service for some of their clients who perhaps couldn't afford to pay for it on their own, the fact remains that a clinic does not make near the money on one of those vouchers that they make on a regular spay or neuter. So there's that. There's severely reduced income. So, okay, we used to take no more than two a week. So that's great. So we scheduled perhaps anywhere from 15 to 24 surgeries a week, depending on what they were. Because a cat neuter takes, what, 10 minutes? A pregnant cat spay could take 2 hours. So you have to balance all that. So then, okay, we can take two of these vouchers in a week's time. And each clinic is different. So whatever way you look at it, they're not going to go rolling through the clinic or all of the clinics or any of the clinics quickly. They're there. A lot of practices honor them, but there are limitations. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sure. I don't think it was our desire that these vouchers would be kind of complemented as the total fee. I think it was just a contribution towards the fee.
I can tell you from experience that the people who come in with those vouchers, you never see them again. All they really do is come in for that. And that's fine. You've done a service. That's great. But you'll never see them again. So that's another reason why the practices, yeah, they're going to do it, but they're not going to rush them ahead of their regular paying clientele, if that makes sense to you.
Sure. Does the City of Eugene Spay and Neuter Clinic still operate at a pretty high surgery rate?
Yes, City of Eugene Spay Neuter Clinic, along with Willamette Animal Guild, I would assume do the most high volume spay neuters in the community currently.
And WAG?
Is Willamette Animal Guild separate from the spay neuter clinic? Because I just got a letter from them because I supported that license plate and I guess it didn't fly. So, I'm just learning about Willamette Animal Guild.
Yes, they are actually separate. The Eugene Spay Neuter Clinic is located on West First, and that used to be where the old Lane County shelter was, the First Avenue shelter. I guess Lane County might be broad, but it used to be where all the animal control services operated out of in conjunction with what was called the First Avenue Animal Shelter. And then the Willamette Animal Guild is located off Royal Avenue area, and they have an amazing vet there, Dr. Katie Gray now, and she does a great job with their spay-neuter program.
So I have a question.
Well, I know.
What is the voucher?
The WAG
how much
program is out about two or three months on appointments.
Oh, how much does the voucher pay, and what is the median cost of a spay neuter? Like, what's the difference between the voucher and a normal spay neuter in cost?
Price of a spay and neuter varies greatly depending on what clinic you go to and what services that you get done. A lot of your private practice vets that service your middle class customers, I guess, who provide a high level of care for their animals, they're going to suggest that you do blood work and microchip your animal and perhaps get their nails trimmed and do all of the basic things to ensure that their health is exemplary, versus if you go to a more low cost clinic, that's all they're going to do potentially is just the spay neuter. So you're looking at a very low end cost, I would say, of $80. To a high-end cost of over $600, depending on where you go in the county right now.
So how much does the voucher pay?
The voucher pays $100 for a dog or $50 for a cat.
And Linda, what did your clinic charge?
The only way we ever came close to that was a young cat neuter. And a young cat neuter with nothing else done was $175.
So that's $75 difference.
Yep.
Well over double the cost of the voucher. The amount of the voucher.
Yep. Yep.
Well, so, no.
So
is,
if
it, is it possible to get the vouchers increased? To get the voucher value increased?
That was my question.
Potentially. Potentially. That could be something that's discussed and looked into. I wouldn't say, that would be something to discuss at a higher up level than me, but that's a possibility, increasing the voucher amount.
Well, we know that not all the vouchers are used. And so therefore, if they're not used, if only not even 50% of them are used, we could double the cost of the voucher and still not increase the cost of to the county.
And we could do that contingent upon there not being the demand that would utilize more of the vouchers. And if there ever is a surge in that demand again, well then back off to, the original amount. But as long as there's no demand that will utilize the quantity of vouchers for a given fiscal year, it seems like that would be worthy of our talking with staff and then whoever in the next couple of meetings. So that's a good idea.
And if the vouchers were greater money, maybe the veterinarians wouldn't be pushing them aside so badly.
Right.
You're right. Good possibility.
I mean,
how do we go about advising the county to increase the cost of the voucher? And what does the rest of the committee think? Double or more or what?
Let's discuss this at an agenda item at our next meeting.
Okay.
I think.
About it.
Yeah. And, it'd be interesting to know as well, Elise, just what the amount that's potentially allocated for vouchers, i.e. from 5% of accrued license revenue set aside, and how much of that has actually been spent, let's say, for the last two fiscal years. So we get a bigger picture of this. So that we can make sure that animals that need it are getting it, help from us. And I know there's a lot of other sources of assistance, but this is one that we really worked kind of hard to establish about 15 years ago, if David remembers, and we worked together on it.
And we also know that they're never always used, or the whole program isn't used.
Yeah.
There's always vouchers left over. Always.
That's right. That's because of multiple reasons, probably on us. And but we can do that. Okay.
And I would suggest that Linda might be able to give us more insight into how much we might recommend it being raised to make an impact.
Let me do some research.
Okay.
And then I can come back to the committee with some numbers at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Go ahead, if some other member would like to speak.
Excuse me. I was just going to just put some food for thought out there too, something that I've been mulling around in regards to use of the excess spay neuter funding, which would need to be, again, discussed with higher LCAS staff than me, but is the use of some sort of care voucher as well. So a situation I run into a lot is dog owners that have large sized dogs not being able to afford a dog house, and dog igloos are about $120+ for a brand new one. So if we were able to kind of do a similar thing with a care voucher, using some sort of licensing funding to cover the $100 of a large dog house or something for a citizen in need, that could be another thing we could consider.
It's a good idea. and possibly one of the large vendors of those, PetSmart, Petco, might actually discount them in a cooperative joint kind of thing. You know, when Lane County Animal Services had the City of Eugene and all those contracts, over $10,000 annually was given vis-a-vis charitable donations to Elcara, and food and complimentary vet services and thousands of dollars. So I think there's a desire, if we can just, you know, bring people together. Is there any other Lane County Animal Services activity, Elise, that you wanted to bring to our attention?
I wanted to state that Michael Johns apologizes that he's not at the meeting tonight, and he probably won't be at the meetings for the next several months. If you guys aren't aware, he's enduring some pretty serious health issues right now. So if you can put him in your thoughts and prayers, he hopes to rejoin us as soon as he is healthy again. But again, he's addressing some pretty serious health concerns right now, not related to COVID, if you're worried. Go ahead.
Please convey our love for Michael and our hope and prayer for him. He's still a pretty young man, so he's got some vitality as well. So God willing, he'll be back by Memorial Day or 4th of July at least.
Yes, but thank you.
Tell him we really care about him.
Yes.
And he really loves animals, and he did a hell of a job during those fires. So he really did. All right. No other announcements for the animal services activity. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention that we have definitely seen an increase in muddy pastures, muddy confinement areas with all of the snow melt off and the heavy rains that we've been having. We've been having a slight increase in welfare check calls. And we're fairly busy for this time of year right now. Definitely don't have much idle time. And then a quick update regarding the WAGS funding. I think we met our goal of getting those funds distributed by February. I got one of the final emails today advising that those funds are all ready for allocation, and WAGS has submitted all of the appropriate paperwork to the county and vice versa.
Is this for WAGS?
Yes, that's in reference to the $10,000 that the committee approved for the continuation of the feral cat spay-neuter program.
But now, they were also hinting at one of our meetings that they wanted more than that, and I think we kind of backed away from that. Is that the committee's, you know, for the time being?
Yes, it is.
Yes, because I think we've been good enough for the time being. All right, I guess we are towards the end of our process here, and I just find it difficult to be put in a position where we have to recommend one of two equally, albeit unique to themselves, candidates here. And so, as Elise was saying, whoever might not be the initial vacancy appointee, if you would please be involved with us and act as if, and we'll treat you as if you are a co-member. I listened to you both, I read your materials, and you both have a lot to contribute. And so I would hope that you'd think about that. That being said, perhaps we can say farewell for a brief time, maybe till our next meeting, and to our two applicants, and proceed with finishing the agenda.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll sign off, right?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Are both of those candidates? Okay. And Virginia, is she still on?
Nope, she's gone.
All right. How many members do we have present?
You have 4 committee members and 1 staff member.
Okay. So, I guess 3, whatever the majority vote would be. Does the committee have any discussions about the 2 candidates? Any thoughts as to how they would help us and fill in some gaps? Any insights about either of them?
Well, since this is a public meeting, I'm not comfortable with sharing it publicly.
I agree.
Yeah, I will say that I thought they have different strengths. Virginia has a hands-on out in the rural part experience, and I like her focus as well on animal abuse, horse abuse, etc. And Dr. Mullenbeck, is that it? She's a very capable person and seems to be really up on the interface with shelters, Green Hill, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, I would hope that we could, if we get someone to yield on the their position, that we could fill both of these with these 2 candidates. Are we ready to make a motion, or I don't know how we would vote?
At least you were going to discuss how we were going to vote.
So since we are unable to do a paper ballot vote, I suggest that you guys just email your selection to me, and then I can advise you guys momentarily as to who the selected candidate is, if you're comfortable with that.
I'm comfortable with it. I just have to find email.
Or we can just reply to the email that has the agenda and stuff on it, right?
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's what she's suggesting.
It's Virginia Kaiser or Fran Munkenbeck?
Yes.
Munkenbeck? Okay. All right. We'll give 5 minutes for voting.
Or until Elise gets all of our responses.
Is each committee member satisfied that you have really considered and really observed both of these people? That we want to get the best person, obviously, for the mix of people we have here. But if we don't want to really discuss particulars, and is the committee satisfied that we made our observations?
Yes, and I already sent my vote.
Okay, well, let me see. I'll try to find the
Bernadette. You're muted.
Oh God,
you're muted, Bernadette. We can't hear you.
Who is?
I'm working on it.
You sent yours, Scott?
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Okay, mine's sent.
Okay.
So's mine, I think. Elise will tell me.
I'm just waiting on one vote to come in.
From whom?
From yourself.
From me?
Yes, from Chair Bartlett.
No, I sent it in. I just replied to the meeting notice, and I said who I was for, but let me see.
It might still be in cyberspace.
Oh, it's to me I sent it, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That won't work, well, Scott.
Okay. So who do I send? Elise? I'll just forward it to Elise, right?
Right.
Elise. I see. Come on, wait. Wait a second. L-Y-S-E. Oh, come on.
You need
come
an
on, A. Scott, you can do this.
Hold on. I'm needing to. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes. Okay. Did you get that, Elise?
Not yet, but it might be on its way.
All right.
Instant communication, right? Gotta love it.
I've got it.
Okay. So, and I really am hopeful that we can get both of these people actively involved with us. It isn't all the time we get two people that really want to be part of our group here.
Right.
Committee, you have selected a candidate, and your choice for that large vacancy is Ms. Virginia Kaiser at this time.
Great. Thank you, Elise.
Thank you.
And what was the vote?
Thank you.
It was 3-1.
Okay. All right. So let's see where we are now. And come on. All right. So we're close to our meeting.
Open discussion.
Is there any?
Yes. I want to know how to set up a meeting, virtual meeting like this. What we're using now, Elise, is can it be private?
It can be. Yes.
Because it's really easy. I just click on one thing and I'm on.
Yep.
So how do I set that up? I need to know for my parent club.
For your what?
I'm a board member of the American Shetland Sheepdog Association, which is the parent club of all the clubs in the nation for Shelties.
Okay.
And this last meeting we had in Chicago, our president wouldn't set up virtually for those that wouldn't go because of COVID. We had six people that didn't attend the meeting. And I want to be able to prove to him it's very easy to set it up so that we can do in-person meeting as well as virtual.
Sure. Can I discuss that with you off the recording?
Sure.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Excellent. I would love to help you with that.
Okay.
Well, Elise, you're doing wonderfully. And are there any items for next month's agenda? We were going to talk about expanding the vouchers for, you know, different expenditures, et cetera. And then if there are items that come to your mind, if you would each email them to Elise, then she can flesh out the agenda. And also we will look at the goals just so that we can recap them and make sure they're aligned with what we want to do.
Yes.
I think we're ready to adjourn. Is that the committee's desire as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so our next regularly scheduled meeting. Yeah, excuse me. Okay. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is February 14th, 2022 at the appointed hour of 4 p.m. And wear your masks, drive carefully, and look forward to reuniting next month.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Okay. And also,
February 14th.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I'll stay on, Elise.
Okay.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.